I hope everyone believes that this morning, that you could search for all eternity long and you would find that there is no one, no one like him. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 18, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 13 through 24. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. The word of God for the people of God. Well, last week we began our sermon series, Balancing Life's Demands, and we discovered that we are facing what I believe to be a very real crisis in our country. You see, we are so busy as a society and as individuals that we are becoming worn out and exhausted. And the busyness takes a toll on our health, it takes a toll on our work, our relationships, and our faith. And we considered how we got into this mess, and the conclusion we came to is that somewhere along the way, we stopped trusting God. That somewhere along the way, we started taking on so much because we felt like if we didn't do it, it wouldn't get done. And so we started taking on more and more than we're able to bear, and more than we can even fit into a day. I can remember when I was in college, and I was working three jobs. I was taking a full load of classes, 18 hours. 12 is a full load. 18 is a lot more. I was also a part of two college campus ministries, leading in each of them. I also served on a committee in my church and taught a Sunday school class. And I remember at the end of my days, at the end of my nights, I always had fun while I was doing all this stuff. Maybe not fun while I was working. But I always had fun while I was doing all the ministries. But at the end of the day, it caught up with me. And things started falling through the cracks. And I started letting people down. And I just couldn't keep up with the pace. And there was a time, I think, when we began to, we can do this kind of pace for a short amount of time and we convince ourselves, well, this is only for a month or two. Only for a little while I can do this and then I'll be out the other side of it. And that would be our motivation, right? And so we would press on and we would keep going. But I'm afraid that most of the people I talk to nowadays, that 2 to 3 months or 3 to 6 months, has been like more 2 to 3 years. And they don't see any end to their busyness. And how do you begin to press on through that? What do you do when you look at your schedule and you look at your life and there seems to be no end to the demands that are being placed upon you? How can we begin as a people to break the chains of busyness? I mean, after all, society is not going to help us at all with this. Society wants you to carry around your phone, check your email every second, check every news article. Your phone dings every time someone comments on your Facebook, replies to your Twitter feed. Whatever you're connected in social media, your phone will ding every single time someone makes a comment. And what do? We pull that phone out, we turn it on, and we scroll through. There's a demand and a hold on us that this world has. And because of it, our busyness has increased to a point that I'm going to tell you flat out this morning, it is unsustainable. It's unsustainable in our individual lives, and it's unsustainable for us as a people, for us as a nation. I told you last week, we are the most stressed out and anxious nation on the planet. And it's so true. I see it all the time. So how do we break out of this? How do we move away from that? And what insights can we get from this interaction between Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro? And after all, of all the people who would give Moses counsel, the relationship he has with God, you'd think it would just be poured out from on high directly to him. But here his father-in-law comes in offering this counsel. And that shows us that God can offer us counsel in countless ways if we would just be open to it. So I want to point out a few things for you this morning from this passage that I believe will help us to say no to what I define as the rat race, to say no to running at the pace the world has set, and instead to reject that and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to let the world define my schedule. I'm not going to let other people define it. I'm going to let my Father in heaven show me what matters most. So here's the first thing we have to realize, that just because you are doing something good, it does not mean it is pleasing to God. Just because you're doing something good, it does not mean that it is pleasing to God. Notice what we have going on here. Moses, what he's doing is good. It is good for him to settle the disputes of the people. It is good for him to help them to see from God's perspective what they should do in all these situations. But here's what's not good. For that to demand so much of his time that he has nothing left to give and no time left to be with just people and relationships, and most importantly, his Father in heaven. So just because you're doing something good, it does not mean that it is pleasing to God. I think that's something we need to hear this morning. I think we live, if you're anything like me, rather, it's easy to convince ourselves that if it's good, then God must want me to do it. If it's needed, then I must be the one that's supposed to complete it. And so we get busy doing even good things. But do we ever stop to ask, Lord, is this pleasing to you? You know, at this point in time, the law had not been given to Moses on Mount Sinai. The people haven't been given the Ten Commandments. They haven't had they haven't seen Moses being up on the mountain coming down, glowing because he's been in the presence of God so long that he begins reflecting his glory. I mean, they haven't encountered any of that. What we see is Moses beginning to teach his people some of the things that God has revealed to him. But when all you're doing is settling disputes, how much time does that actually leave to teach? How much time does that actually leave to pray? How much time does that actually leave to seek yourself? But his father-in-law saw this. He saw it clearly. He said, you can't keep it up. What you're doing, it is not good. And not only that, it's not good for you. It's not good for your people. And at the end of the day, you will get burned out and your people will grow weary because you're not going to be able to meet all their needs. He saw the limitations. We, like Moses, need to consider if the good things we have packed our schedules with are actually what God desires us to do. We also need to discover what our true motivations are for doing them in the first place. So how do we do that? We can ask God whom you are trying to please. The good things that you do in your life, the things that consume your schedule, who are you doing them for? Why are you doing them? Why are you doing this and not that? Are you trying to please your next door neighbor? Are you trying to please a family member? Are you trying to please a coworker, a boss, a client? Are you trying to please your Father in heaven? Another thing you can ask is you can ask God if this is the best use of your time and talents. In other words, in light of your gifting, is this how God wants you to use your time? Is this what God wants you to do with your giftedness? Thirdly, ask God if what you're doing is having a kingdom impact. Is it really making a difference? After all, isn't that what we all long for? On some level, don't you want to make a difference? Don't you want to make a difference in our church? Doesn't our church want to make a difference in this city, in this community that we're in? Don't you want to make a difference in your neighborhood? Ask God if you are having, if what you're doing is having a real kingdom impact. R.A. Torrey, a well-known preacher from years gone by, had this to say about it. We are too busy, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. Many services, but few conversions. Much machinery, but few results. This is what happens when we get busy doing good stuff that might not be God's stuff. This is what happens when our lives get so filled that we can't stop to ask God if what we're filling them up with truly matters to Him. Another thing we notice is that just because you are doing something good, it does not mean that it is your responsibility. What did Jethro help Moses to see? That he could appoint people over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and those people could be responsible for settling the disputes, even teaching the people on some levels. And then Moses could focus on what it was his responsibility to be their representative before God and to be God's representative before them. That was Moses, after all, calling from the beginning to lead them, to be their mediator. But imagine if he didn't go that route. Imagine if Moses said, well, I hear you, but you know, like a lot of people might do here this morning, I'm not really going to take the advice of my in-law. And I'm going to go my own way. And I'm going to do my own thing. Would he have had a close enough relationship to God to even receive the Ten Commandments? Or would he have been too busy working for God that he stopped knowing Him at all? You see, when your life gets too busy and you take on too many responsibilities, only with God's help can you slow down. God reminds you that it is all right to say no. I want to give you that permission this morning. It is all right to say no. If your life, if you've got too much on your plate and somebody comes to you and asks you to do something else, it's all right to say no. If your boss at work comes and asks you something else, it's all right to say, I can't do that right now. I've got too much going on. your pastor even comes to you and you don't feel led of the Spirit to do it, it's okay to say no. God also reminds you that it is all right to share the load. That's what Moses is learning here. It's all right to share the load. It's all right to depend on the people around you, to trust. Moses was taking a big risk. I mean, the people who actually came before him were being satisfied and their disputes settled. There was no guarantee if he started sending them to the people over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, over tens, whether anything good was going to come of it. Yet God showed him it was all right to share the load. How many of us here today need to hear that? It's okay to share the load. God also reminds you, it is all right to rest in Him. Why was Moses freeing up his schedule? So he could be with God. So he could represent the people before God and be with God, hear God's instruction, and then teach it to the people. Reminds me of Tim referencing in the children's message in Acts chapter 6 where the disciples were so busy and the church was growing so fast and they were having trouble taking care of all the widows that were in this new church that had sprouted up and was growing like a wildfire. And they said, you know what? We're having to spend so much time taking care of people's physical needs that we have no time left to take care of their spiritual needs. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to appoint 7 people. And we'll give this over to them. Another big risk, but a willingness to share the load so that they could get back to prayer, to preaching, and to teaching and sharing the truth of the kingdom of God. We see that principle. Didn't Jesus say the same thing when Martha came to him? She was so frustrated with Mary in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, because Jesus and the disciples were there to eat. And Martha was working so hard and wearing herself out. And Mary was just sitting in Jesus' presence, sitting at his feet. And she says, Jesus, make her work. Make her do something. And Jesus said, she's chosen what's best. How many of us this morning have sacrificed what's best because we just do whatever good thing falls into our laps? How many of us just need to stop and say, Lord, is this what you actually want me to do? Is this the best that you have for me? You see, just because something needs to be done does not mean that you're always the one that has to do it. And then our last thought. Just because you are doing something good, kind of already said this, it does not mean you are doing what is best. I think about the story of King Saul. Early in his reign, everything was going well, and he had been given all this authority, had all this power, and was achieving all these victories in battle. But then he lost one. And he lost it, and he was worried. Why did this happen, Lord? Is it because we didn't offer a sacrifice? And so he called on Samuel to come and to offer a sacrifice. And Samuel was running late. Anybody relate to that? And so he waited. 7 days he waited, and Samuel hadn't shown up. And so Saul thought to himself, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'll sacrifice it. I mean, after all, it's an offering. What's the worst that could happen? And so though he was neither a priest nor a prophet, he did the one thing he was commanded not to do. And he made that sacrifice. And it dishonored God. He couldn't stand being still. He couldn't stand seeing something that needed to be done that wasn't getting done. And so without even asking God whether it was his responsibility or not, he took it upon himself and he did it. When Samuel got there, he was dismayed. And he looked at Saul and he said, "Today your kingdom has been broken. Because you looked at that thing and thought it was good. You're going to lose what is truly best." You want to know why our schedules are so busy? Because we look at things, we see things that need to be done, and they might even be good things. You might be thinking too this morning, my schedule's not filled with good things. I've got a lot of terrible things there that I need to get rid of immediately. But most of the time, it's good stuff. It's good stuff that we fill it with. And God's saying to you this morning, when's the last time that you were still? When's the last time that you truly waited upon me and didn't try and take your life by the reins and tell me that I should bless you after the fact? That got Saul into a whole lot of trouble. Praise the Lord that Moses understood that he needed to slow down so that he could be with God. And so he said no to the rat race. I mean, could you imagine how bad it would have got for him? The people, they complained with him the whole time in the wilderness. They complained about food. God provided manna from heaven. They complained about water. Water came out of a rock. I mean, they complained about everything. Could you imagine how much they would have complained if all Moses did was try and meet every little need they had and settle every dispute they had? They would have become so dissatisfied that they would have given up on him. But he stopped and he slowed down and he said, "I'm not going to run at that pace. I'm going to say no to the rat race and I'm going to say yes to God's race." That's what we need to do this morning. We need to say no to the world's way of doing things, and we need to say yes to God's way of doing things. When we leave this place today, Missy and I are going to go home to our house. We're going to eat lunch, and we're going to take a nap, a family nap we take every Sunday. Then after that, we're not going to turn on a television or a device or technology of any kind, and we're just going to spend the day together. We're going to say no to doing it the world's way. Is the world going to keep moving because we're not plugged in? Absolutely, it will. Might we miss something that's going on in the world? Maybe. But you know what we're not going to miss? Being still and knowing who God is. And that to me is far more important and far more of a blessing. Let us pray. Almighty God, we need your help if we're ever going to slow down. Truth be told, if we're left to our own devices, we will run ourselves ragged. We will wear ourselves down. And half the time, we don't even know who we're trying to please. Forgive us for that, Father. Help us to be willing to, even when we see good things standing before us, to ask you if we're the person to do them. To ask you if this is your plan and your will for us before we jump in with both feet to one thing after another. Help us to say no to a busy life and yes to a godly life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning. If you're here today and you know your schedule is in chaos, come down to this altar and ask the Lord for his help. Say, "God, I don't even know where to begin, but I know that I'm not happy. I know that the joy I once had is gone." Ask the Lord to help you find a balance. I told somebody the other day, and I believe this with all my heart, I don't have a scripture verse to quote, but I believe for every hour you spend serving others, you need to spend about 3 hours with God if you truly want to be effective. I read that somewhere and it made a lot of sense to me. But we can only do that if we're willing to slow down and walk at God's pace.